Okay, good morning. Good morning. That's what I usually say. Right, Susan? Susan could testify that I always started good morning.
Mix everybody up.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to our Learning Ashare. We are really mamish. It's Wednesday night. What's wrong?
Why? Oh, no, we just don't know what page.
70, I didn't say yet. We are 1 week away from Yom HaDin. Someone texted me that she can't come. She has orientation at her kid's school. She's like, it's the last class of the year. I can't come. It's a kavua person. Mamish is the last class of the year, and we are poised to enter the new year. Tav Shanai Ches. Shabir Abrach and Simcha for everybody. Amen. We are running the Ilui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas Miriam Frohn. Actually, I'm going to relate one thing, though, the fact that we learn in her memory and her merit every week, related to what Susan brought up. Salvechik teaches, and I just read something similar, Rav Shimshon Pinkas, that Sefer Achaim v'Sefer Amavis Psuchim Lefanav, says the Gemara Masachas Rosh Hashanah. So the typical interpretation is that Sefer Achaim v'Sefer Hamavet Ptuchim Lefanav, the typical interpretation is that we're judged. Which book are we going to go in? Rav Salvechik brings down a different var, and again, Rav Shimshon Pinkas says something similar. That's what it means, but it means something else as well, and that is that the person who is nifter is rejudged every year. Sefer HaChayim, the book of those who are alive, the Sefer HaMavet and Sefer HaMavet is reopened before the Ribbono Shel, and he judges the neshamas that have passed. What do you mean they have judges the neshamas that have passed? How could that be? They're judged every year for the impact that they continuously have down here. And we don't see that right away. Sometimes it occurs over time. So when we say we learn as Zizchus Aliyah Neshama Miriam Frohn, it's really an unbelievable thing when you think about it. Every action that I do Latova in her merit as a result of this class really stands in her merit on the Yom HaDin. So it's very, very powerful. So, Neshama Shav and Aliyah. Welcome. Okay, so we're on page 70.
That's why he keeps sponsoring it. Her husband told me that Rav Goldberg told him the best thing you could do is
for neshama and so. But now it really gives an added ha'ara as to why Rav Salvechik brings it down in his machzor. He says because the actions of a person and their consequences are sometimes not determined till over time. It could be generations after. Somebody learns something here, and then they go teach it to their child, and their child is imbued within that. It's really a very powerful thing. Salvechik brings it down in the machzor. Okay. I wanted to, before we actually get to the Sefer, if you remember, last time we did a special Rosh Hashanah Shir, we did it on Kriyas HaTorah. So I want you to, if you were not with us. But before that, we spoke about the inner child, awakening the inner child within. Remember that you have to teach your inner child over and over. You can't teach your child once when he's 3 years old that there's Hashem. Remember the Mechaber says that. You have to remind him. You tell him one time there's Hashem, you never tell him again. So you're going to come to him in 2 days, in 3 days, in 3 years, and the child's not going to know what you're talking about. So the Mechaber says, the author says, that's us. We have to re-speak to our inner child continuously. And we quote it of Salvechik. There's a reason I'm reviewing this and recapping. Of Salvechik says to have absolute faith in... You can't say that about man. It's sacrilegious. It's kafiris. You can't say about a fellow human being, I have faith in you. You could trust somebody. You could maybe believe in someone. You could hope that they'll fill through. But faith, you can only have in who? God. And you have to awaken your inner child. He says man-child. Man-hyphenated child is the only one who can have that deep faith in God. Because rational man, rational adult, pessimistic adult, says it's never going to happen. But the child within you has such deep faith in his mother, says Rav Salvechik. It's the child within who believes in Hashem. That's who we have to awaken within ourselves. So after that class, I want to share with you what I learned through in the Parsha, in Parsha's Kiseitze. And I thought it was so relevant, and I left myself a note that we have to review it together. So again, keeping in mind what we learned that Wednesday night, and we quoted the excerpt from Rav Salvechik, and we went through the Sefer more in depth. I'm going to quote from Parsha's Kiseitze. And I view these psukim in a different light than I ever learned to them before. Kihiya le'ish ben, sower umora. When a man has a child who is wayward and rebellious, einenu shomea b'kol aviv uv'kol imo. He does not listen to the voice of his father and his mother, v'yisru oso, and they chastise him, v'lo yishma aleihem. He doesn't listen to them, so this is the famous story of the ben sower umora, even though Chazal say it never was and never would be. You have to learn to get reward. There are very strict requirements. By the way, one of the interesting things is if the parents are deaf, you can't have a ben sower umora. There's very exacting requirements outlined in, I think, 7 folios of the Gemara, of exactly what requirements have to be met. So Chazal say it never happened, but learn to expound their words, so all the commentators talk about. But I was looking at a very different light. Based on how we begin with the inner child, how could you understand this pasuk? How could you interpret the pasuk? Ki yihia li'ish ben sorer umora. When a man has a wayward and rebellious son, That child is just not listening. What does it seem to allude to on a big level of drash?
Yetzirah.
Your inner child, your Yetzirah. Yeah, what were you going to say?
No.
Go ahead.
No, that's what I was
thinking. That's what you were thinking. I have a child within. The Machaber says that. Salvechik speaks about your inner child. Everyone has a child within. But now he is so remora. Why? Because the Yetzer Hara grabs hold of that inner child and he's wayward and rebellious. Einenu shomea. Why is my inner child not listening to me? Because avi v'kal imo. He's not listening to my voice of reason, to shma b'ni musar avicha. V'al titosh toras imecha. He's not shma b'ni musar avicha. V'al titosh torat imecha. He's not listening to the voice of his father, that musar avicha, the chastisement of the father. But who's it talking about? Which child? The child inside. Uvakal imo, and he's not listening to the love of his mother. V'yisru oso. What does it mean? You chastise him, you discipline him, you try and turn him to the straight path. Why isn't he listening to me? Matrin bo, says Rashi, you warn him. Umalkinoso, you beat him up. It says over in the biography of Mordechai Gifter, he once passed a Talmud who was going through a hard time, and Rav Gifter put up his fist, and he said to the Talmud, punch out your Yetzirah. But Yisro Oso, Rashi says, you give him Malkos. He's not listening. V'lo yishma lehem. That doesn't ever happen to you. You feel like you're in a situation, your Yetzirah got the best of you, and your inner child's not listening. Why isn't he listening to me? You even try and punch him out, and he's still there. V'tafsu bo avi v'imo. What does father and mother do to him? They grab onto him. You grab hold of him. Rav Gifter said to that Talmud, punch him out. Punch out your Yetzirah. Oh, so what do you do? What do you do? Who remembers? What do you do with the Ben Sora mirror? Where do you take him? To the Zekanim. Votsiu also a Zikne Iro. What does that represent? Who does the Zekanim? What does the Zekanim represent? Our elders. Torah. The Mesorah, Torah, the Zekanim represent the passing on of the Torah. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, Masrale Yoshua, Yoshua to the Zekanim, came to Nevi'im, Nevi'im to Anshei Knesset Gedolah, down to us. The Zekanim represent the Mesorah of Torah. So if your Ben Sora Mor is really not listening, and you can't grab hold of your child within, and the adult is taking over, and he won't listen to reason, he won't listen to the voice of his father, he won't listen to the Torah of his mother, and you really try, below Yishma, he's not listening. Hagram Unkel says he will not be mekabel the words of his mother and the words of his father. He's not mekabel. So grab hold of him. And the Gemara says, if your menuvel zeh, if your Yetzer Hara grabs hold of you, take him to the Beis Medrash. That's exactly what the Gemara says. What's the cure? What's the antidote for the Yetzer Hara? Torah. So what do you do here with your Yetzer Hara if he's not listening to you? Where do you go? To the Zekanim. The tough subav human, you better grab hold of him. Ezu gibor hakovashas Yisrael. The hotzio so zikne iro. You should go to the Zekanim. What does the Zekanim represent? Go seek out Torah. Go seek out Dastor. Immerse yourself in the fountain of wisdom in order to conquer Yetzirah. Ve'al sha'ar mekomo to the gates, the city of the place. Ve'amru el zikne iro. And you should say to your Rebbe. You should say to your teacher. You should say to the Zekanim. You should say to the Torah. B'neinu zeh sorah mor. You have to help me. I have a Nisayon, I have a Yetzer Hara, and he's not helping me, and he's wayward and rebellious. Einenu shomei bekoleinu, he's not listening to my voice. Zola v'sova, he's a glutton and a guzzler. What should I do with him? Uragmuhu kol anshe iru ba'avanim. What should he do with your Yetzer Hara? Stone him. What did the Rav Mordechai Gifter say? Punch him out. Punch out your Yetzer Hara. You got to get him any way you can. Uvi arta, you use the word Yetzer Hara. Listen to the next words. And he will die. Halavai. The Yetzer Hara should be gotten rid of. Even though the Gemara says the Yetzer Hara won't really be slayed until the end of days. You can't kill your Yetzer Hara in this lifetime. You can only rein him in. The Gemara says, Chazal say, without a Yetzer Hara, man would not marry a woman. Yetzer Hara is useful. We need him. Man would not buy a house. He would not sow a field. So Chazal say, you do need your Yetzer Hara. Why? Because without a Yetzer Hara, there wouldn't be any marriage. There wouldn't be puravu. So you have to rein him in. You have to channel him. Uragmuhu kol ansha iro ba'avanim. Stone him. Get rid of him. Uvi arta hara. Mikir becha. This interpretation fits so beautifully with the psukim. Somebody has to bring it down. Uviarta haram mikir becha. How could mikir becha be interpreted or translated? What does mikir becha mean?
From inside you.
What?
I mean your insides.
She just came in. She knows the answer. It's exactly right. It means mikir becha means from your inside, from within you. It means get rid of the ra, the bad. But the way we're explaining it, uviyarta hara, you should get rid of the bad with that is inside of you, mikrabacha, inside of you. V'chal Yisrael yishmu v'yirao, and all of Israel shall hear this lesson, and all of Israel shall fear. So it is a lesson that we all need to take into account. One second. When the angels come and they tell Avraham Avinu, I'm just talking about Mekir Becha for a minute, which is exactly what Chaya said, from your inside. That's what you said, right? From your inside. When the angels come and they tell Avraham Avinu, Sarah's going to have a baby, what does it say? Who remembers? Vatitzchak Sarah. Ah, very nice. Is it possible? I'm withered, I'm old, my husband is old. So how do you understand what Yitzchak Sarah? She laughed? What do you mean she laughed? Sarah? The aim be Yisrael. She doesn't believe the bracha of Hashem. So if David Holzer brings down a beautiful pshat, which he says he presented to Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Soloveitchik gave us a skam, he said, very nice, very nice. Rav Holzer says, you can rest, the reader can rest assured, I presented other ideas to Rav Soloveitchik. I didn't bother to include in this sefer anything he did not agree with. So Rav Holzer says, v'titzchak sar bekirba. She wasn't denying Hashem. She wasn't laughing at Hashem. She was laughing inside. What does that mean? At who? At herself. She didn't believe she internally could conquer this desire. She didn't believe she could do it. It wasn't that God can't do it. Of course God could do it. But this is what Bekirba means. She laughed at her insides. So we can apply that here. You should eradicate the bad from where? From within you. And all of Israel has to learn, and all of Israel has to see, and all of Israel has to fear this lesson. Whoops. Okay, what do you think? That's pretty cool stuff. Any comments or questions? Okay. I hope you're excited. I was very excited. I think it fits in beautifully. Okay. Why doesn't anyone want to say anything? Okay.
Well, page 70. It makes 70. Sense, Michal, that there never was one, because maybe
say it again.
Maybe it's meant to be taken this way. You know, when you think that there never ever was a
Ben Sarah, and never will
so
be.
Why would this whole thing have come up? Maybe
right.
It's because there is that.
So the commentators all go through this. Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky says to teach us before you write off a kid, there are so many exacting requirements, you're never even going to meet all the requirements. So you should never, in other words, don't write anything off. So you're right. So maybe we are meant to understand this on the level of the Josh, because the level of the Pshach is all saying, never was. There was never such a thing. So expound upon it and get reward. So maybe that's exactly the answer. Expound upon it so you find the applicability of it. What's the applicability? Ben Sarah Mer. And we could only have come to this Ha'ara because that class was right before Kiseitze. That was in mind when I sat down to learn the Parsha and I said, Baruch Bokeach Ivrim. This is talking about something very deep. We
and
all have a Ben Sarah or Mora within.
It's applicable to anyone even if you don't have a child.
100%. That's exactly right. It's the inner child, which we all have, who becomes wayward and rebellious. That's exactly what we're talking about. That's right. Not a biological child. The Ben within. Yes, anything else? Okay. Page 70. Okay, so on the previous page, no, actually we're going to start on page 69 because we didn't learn for a couple weeks, but we're going to go through the beginning of page, the middle of page 69 quickly because we did this already. But now, just interestingly, keep this in mind the way we just interpreted Ben Sarah Mora, okay? A man is a small child. He wants to teach him the fundamentals of faith. When the boy turns 3, the father says, I have important information. I'm going through this quickly. Something you have to remember your entire life. What? Says the boy, there's a creator. He created everything. Most important information I want to pass on. I won't mention it again. Don't forget. The 3-year-old cannot grasp lofty ideas. His level is disturbed and is low. After a day or two, the father doesn't mention he's going to become a heretic. Right? What's going to happen if you never teach again? Rav Soloveitchik, in fact, speaks about that. When he says that the neshama is judged in the Olam HaEmes every year on Rosh Hashanah, he says based on the education that they gave their child. So it's very powerful. Then we went through Reuven 54b. How many times you have to reteach? Okay, so the father might cry. I told my son there's a creator. I warned him I would not be repeating it. This is nonsense. The child does not have the capacity to appreciate the father's warning. If you want to work with your son properly, and again, the Mechaber is not talking about your son, he's talking about the child within all of us. So there are opportunities. When you're walking in the street, who makes the rain come down? I don't know. It's the master of the world who causes it to fall. Hashem is so good to us. He gave us rain so the plants will grow. And this way he should teach this principle time and again. So who are we talking about? Of course, ourselves. Every time a situation happens, you could see rain as an annoyance or you could see rain as a bracha. Every time you're in that matzav, you have to repeat to your inner child that this is a bracha. Do not take it for granted. You know, it's funny. Did everyone see the WhatsApp that's going around? I got it from a couple of different people about the hurricane. A lady's, checking out in the grocery. It's a cartoon. So there's a cashier, and she's piling up groceries. Yeah, so he said, is there another hurricane coming? So she says, no, it's a three-day yontif. So someone WhatsApped it to me and said, you know, I'm getting this from everybody. And she said, I don't think it's funny. She says, why does everyone think it's funny? She's like, Baruch Hashem, we have yontif. Baruch Hashem, we don't have hurricanes. Baruch Hashem, everything. So I said to her, oh, you can pass it around. Pass it down, Ari. So I said to her, you know, it's just a joke. Mm-hmm. So she said, I should chill a little. So I said, I understand what you're trying to say. We have to be thankful for everything. It's just, I did smile. I chuckled. It's a joke. But really, every single time you're in a situation, you have two ways of looking at something. You could either say, oh, it's yontif, and I don't know, I can't shower for 3 days, and I'm going to be so tired and eat so much. Or you could say, Baruch Hashem, I have 3 days of yontif because it's yontif, and then a Shabbos. Just as an aside, I think it's unbelievable in Eretz Yisrael that in Rosh Hashanah it's also 3 days for them because, like, they have 1 day, 3 days. And I remember my friend told me that for a Mechatenis there, it's very difficult.
It kills them. It's very hard.
But also logistically, they don't have freezer and fridge space. Someone told me this. They're used to 1 day of yontif. Unbelievable.
Like we do.
Okay, so of course we should say Baruch Hashem Rezocha to usher in the new year. It's going to be Tafshin Ayecha Shachianu. Ladies, come. You want to say loud?
No, she's just upset by that, but it's just a joke.
I can't stand an attitude.
So that's exactly what this person, what's that mean? And said, which one? The negative one?
Yeah.
That's exactly what this person said, that she doesn't know why this is funny. I'm telling you, someone's happened it. She's like, I keep getting this. I don't know why people think it's funny. She's like, thank God, Baruch Hashem, there's no hurricane here. Baruch Hashem, we're going to have yontif. It's true. It's a joke. It's a little chuckle. But the point is that we have two ways of approaching every scenario and every situation. Look at it the positive way or look at it as the negative way. And every time you're in the rain, you have to say, Baruch Hashem, he gives us rain so the plants will grow. Not I'm going to be wet and I'm wearing the wrong shoes and I don't like to drive in the rain. No, so you have to instill in yourself over and over and over and over because your Ben Sorah Mora is going to come up all the time. You know, it's interesting. I just thought of something else because Elisheva said, maybe that's the whole point. Lo haya v'lo yiyah. Never was and never will be. The Torah wastes words. The Torah doesn't waste one letter, one nekuda. There are no nekudas in the Sefer Torah. But every different nekudas can be interpreted differently. It doesn't waste one crown. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim. He saw Hashem attaching the Medrash's crowns to the letters. Moshe said, Ribbono Shel Olam, what are these? And Ribbono Shel Olam said, one day a great rabbi will arise, Rabbi Akiva. He will expound lessons from every crown. So I have these verses that never was and never will be, except that the Ben Sorah Mora always is and always will be. Until he moves to Mashiach. I'm talking about the internal one. He's always there. He doesn't leave you alone. The Gemara says the Yetzer is like a fly at the entrance way to the heart. Why like a fly? What happens when you make a barbecue? The fly comes, so you shoo him away. So you have a little reprieve? Reprieve. Reprieve? Reprieve?
No, reprieve.
Reprieve. How long? 2 minutes if you're lucky. Then what happens?
Huzzah.
Then you shoo him away. What happens?
He brings a friend.
So it's interesting. What did she say?
He brings a friend.
He brings his friends. That's exactly right. That's not a joke. So on the hashkafic level, that's exactly right. So what's so interesting is lo haya v'lo yiyah is true on the level of pshat, but on the level of dress, that happens all the time. So what do you have to do? Otziu also al ziknei iro. Go find Torah. Yeshua to the zikanim. Go to your leaders. I need help. Go to the rabbi. You go to Torah. You have to help me. He's not listening to me. Uvi arta hara. From where? Mikir Becha. It's unbelievable. Baruch Pokeach Ibrahim. It's unbelievable. You want water? Yeah, I'll pour you. Here. It's nobody drink from it. Here. Susan, pass it. Thank you. Okay. So until the emunah is embodied, should be instilled in your own child's soul. Don't take it for granted that your child will grow up and learn this important lesson. Not on his own or not from his teachers. If it's not implanted when he is young, if a child does not thank you, does not bring in emunah in the atmosphere of his home and learn to live with it, even if he knows it will remain far from him, his faith will be weak. So again, who are we talking about? The child within. You have to put him in an environment of constant emunah. So I'm going to quote now from Rav Shimshon Pinkas, Moedei Hashana. Oh, I should put this on my website. It's recommended reading. Okay. I should put it in the beginning of Ella. So I'm going to quote from Rav Pinkas. The Gemara Maseches Gittin records an amazing story. Unklus bar Kilonimus, Unklus is, by the way, Targum Unklus that we always quote, is Titus's nephew. Unklus was not a born Jew. He was the nephew of Emperor Titus. He wanted to convert to Judaism, so he went and he conjured up the spirit of Titus. And he said, who is prominent in the next world? So Titus said, Israel is prominent. So Unklus said to his uncle, Titus, is it worthwhile to join them? Titus said, their mitzvahs are many. You won't be able to keep them. Go struggle against them in this world. You will become their leader. And then Unklus said, what's your judgment? Titus said, as I sentenced myself, every day up here, they gather my ashes, they judge me. Isn't that interesting? Every day, the teacher is saying, I'm rejudged. They burn me again, they scatter my ashes over the seven seas. So Pinkas says, this is amazing. Titus was subjected to a horrible, awful punishment for oppressing the Jewish people. And he admits the fact that in the world of truth, the Jewish people own prominence. Who is prominent in the next world? Titus said, Israel. So should I join them, said the nephew. What did Titus say? No, go oppress them. What's your punishment? They judge me anew every day. They scatter my ashes. The Gemara goes on to recount, it was just the same with Bilam when he was asked. We learn from this an awesome lesson. Listen to this very carefully. What's the basis, the foundation here? Titus knows the truth because he's in the Om Emes. So the Jews are revered. Revered? Revered up there. But nevertheless, when his nephew says, should I join them? What does he say? Go fight them. What?
I thought it was Titus instead of Titus, but it's
probably, I think,
Hebrew.
In Hebrew it's Titus. I always thought it was Titus.
Right. Yeah. Hebrew.
Okay. It's not so often that you take a pronunciation from me. Okay. Titus was, okay, we learn from this an awesome lesson. It's very scary. If a person has a certain outlook during his lifetime, if he holds certain false views and opinions down here, I'm not talking about if you do teshuvah. This is how you live, and this is how it may have asked me to die. This outlook will stay with him forever and ever. Quote, says Rav Pinkas, this is really frightening. Oh, I brought up jokes, and you said you don't like that attitude. Imagine a Jew sitting in Gan Eden next to Kiva Eger, and instead of speaking in Torah, you try and tell him a joke. That's a direct quote. That's what it says here. The attitude and the outlook you have down here, says Rav Pinkas, is the attitude and outlook you're going to have there. So Titus knew the truth, and yet he could not change. He could not change his opinion. He couldn't say you should join the Jews, because his opinion of the Jews was, we should destroy them, we should oppress them, we should destroy the base of English, we should take them into Gauls. So he said to English, don't join them, even though he knew the truth. I'm going to repeat that paragraph again. If a person has a certain outlook during his lifetime, if he holds certain false views and opinions, this outlook will stay with him forever and ever. Quote, this is really frightening. Imagine a Jew sitting in Gan Eden next to a Vikiv Eger. And instead of speaking to him in Torah, you try to tell him, like, you want to see what's app I got? Isn't that funny? It's a 3-day antif. It's like, okay. But that's what Rav Pinkas say. And he says, this is really frightening. Therefore, and our Mechaber has spoken so much about B'chol Levavcha. We spoke about it in the past. Just because you know something up here, V'ashevosa al Levavcha. Talking about tshuva. V'ashevosa, v'ashevota. Same root word as teshuva. You must get it down into the level of your heart. Therefore, says Rav Pinkas, more than any guarding, quote, protect your heart. In the Olam HaEmes, they will open our souls. By the way, this is very relevant, not only at Me'ev Esrim Shana, which Moshe says in this week's parasha, but Me'ev Esrim Shana v'Anochi, but it's also relevant to Yom HaDin. In the Olam HaEmes, when we come to Yom HaDin, which is one week, they will open our souls. They will reveal everything we heard our whole life. And a person's spiritual state at the time of death is whatever it is. His soul is full of, I'm quoting, his soul is full of every nonsense, false outlook, bad sights, we spoke about the eclipse, and improper thoughts he had during his lifetime. And that's who you're going to be in the Olam HaEmes. So when you get into the yeshiva, and they're talking in Torah, and you're going to say, do you want to see my WhatsApp? Isn't that funny? And Rapinka says, this is really frightening. Then the next statement is even more frightening, and this answers something somebody asked today in class. I started off the shir by noting, I'm saying it again because I'm going to answer a question that came up in Kasei, which I didn't say yet. Rav Soloveitchik brings down that the dead are judged all over again on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well. Sefer Chaim v'Sefer Mavis P'suchim Lefanav means that we of us who are alive, Baruch Hashem, are judged, but those who have been niftar are also judged. What are they judged on? The impact that they had on people while they were down here. So the example I gave in class, if someone goes around, I didn't even say yesterday, if someone goes around preaching Chilul Shabbos his whole life, that he has made that his agenda, Chas v'Shalom. He's going to teach everybody to be Mechal HaShabbos. There are such people. I'm going to teach people that there should be no mechitza between the men and the women. I'm going to teach people that the women should smuggle in the Sefer Torah wrapped around their body, Rachmana Litzlan, to a certain section. That's what I'm going to teach my whole life. So Rav Soloveitchik says the outcome of those actions cannot be judged immediately, over time. By the way, bring this down to our level. I make a Chil HaShem. I make a Chilul Hashem. I don't speak properly in public. And that person learns from me. And they teach their children how to speak improperly from me. I'm rude to the cashier. And she thinks, wow, look at that Jew. She doesn't have a minute to say, how are you, and a smile. And she goes home and has a negative view. So Soloveitchik says, I'm rejudged every year on Yom Kippur from that. On Mayav Esrim Shana. So someone asked in class today, and this answers it. I'm going to believe Nader send this to her. Let's say a person does teshuvah, she said. What about teshuvah? At the end of his life, he decides there shouldn't be Chilul Shabbos. I'm going to repent. And the last year of his life, he keeps Shabbos perfectly. Machmir mina machmir, mahudar mina mahudar. So she said, what about teshuvah? You can do teshuvah for yourself, but what about all the people that you influence to not keep Shabbos? What happens every time they don't keep Shabbos? You go up to Olam HaEmes, you've done teshuvah, but every year on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when they open that person's Sefer HaMavas, and they want to rejudge him, what about those hundreds of people who are not keeping Shabbos because of you? So that's what she was saying. That's what she asked. She's like, what about teshuvah? How is that possible? So I said, you know, you could do teshuvah for yourself, but you can't do teshuvah for other people. In fact, Rashi tells us on the Chumash, it is worse to cause someone to sin than to kill him. Just recently, by Ammon and Moab and Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is allowed to come into the Israeli nation after three generations of converts. However, Ammon and Moab, never, not even after 10 generations. Ammon and Moab were promiscuous and made us sin. Mitzrayim tried to kill us. Which is worse? The ones who made us sin, not the ones who killed us. The one who kills us only takes us out of this world, not the next world. The one who makes us sin ruins our Olam Haba also. So, Rav Pinchas says, listen to this. His soul is full of every nonsense, false outlook, bad sights, and improper thoughts that he had during his lifetime. Even if he does teshuvah on Yom Kippur, his soul remains marred by them. That's the answer to that person's question. What about teshuvah? Yeah, but what about the effect that it had that you can't stop anymore? Quote, says Rav Pinchas, it is terrifying to even think about this. The Chilul Hashem that I made last year that I don't even remember, that impacts somebody else, I'm accountable for that. If I make somebody sin, I'm accountable, even if I did teshuvah. Now there are souls that are marred because of my actions. Who knows which path we are being led on? We are liable to be called for something critical. And then he brings up Amuna. What if we have a failing in the deep explanation of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith? I don't know which way I will be led. So what should we do? Rav Pinchas says, how should we handle this? The answer lies in the Gemara that we've quoted in this class before, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Kishachala Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I remember this Gemara, we've quoted it a couple of times. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came in, Ba'u Talmid of Levakro. His students came to see him, to be Bikur Cholim. And what did he start to do? Who remembers? Hizchil Levkos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai starts to cry. The students say, why are you crying? He says, I don't know where I'm being led. Rabbi Pinchas says, we don't know where we're being led. I think I remember every Chilul Hashem I did. I think I remember every word of Lashon Hara I spoke that taught somebody else that it's okay to speak Lashon Hara. And now I'm accountable, even if I did teshuvah. I can't go to every person and say it was a bad eitzah. Start keeping Shabbos again. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai began to cry. Rav Pinchas says that's the Eitzah, cry. When you're facing the Day of Judgment, by the way, he's specifically talking about the Yamim Noran. When you are facing judgment and you're in fear of Gehenna, you intellectually realize that there are two paths. One to the good way, Gan Eden, one to Gehenna, the other way, cry. This is how we can change the edict in Shemayim. With tears, the days of Allah are Yemei Ratzon. Open your heart and cry. Hashuvenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Allow us to return to you so we can return. And this way, with Hashem's help, we will be written and sealed for the good. So it's something that we need to reteach to make an impact, not only on the souls around us, but in our own inner child as well. Any questions or comments? Okay, let's go. I'm just going to take some water. Thank you. Thank you. 1 second, please, ladies. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehav Kol Lehi Abed Varah. Okay. What's amazing is that every action we do has such long-range implications. This is true. I'm at the second to last paragraph on the bottom of page 70. This is true with the education of a child. It is equally true when educating our own hearts. Together with advanced Torah study, Veotziu also al Ziknei Iro, Torah study, deep Talmudic analysis, as well as study of Halacha. We're not going into deep Talmudic analysis, but again, I remember, I think you're the one who said last year, the Sefer is really, you think, written for men. Remember you said that? But of course, we can extrapolate so many insights from it on our own level. Well, I must take the simple fact of the existence of the Creator and instill it in your heart. I want to tell you something from Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yikom Dam. It's coming up today, but I believe it's our third Yortzeit already. Is that possible?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's Cheshvan. I just mentioned them today at the Nautilus because I was talking about 3-day Yontif, and I was saying that they don't have adequate fridge space, different style lecture to be age appropriate. And I forget which one of the Kedoshim had a gemach. Was it Rav Arya Kapinsky who had a gemach that he lended out? It was a fridge gemach, Free Loan Society, Gemilas Chesed Fund. What was the gemach? Because in Herzog, people don't have three fridges and freezers, and they might not even have two fridges or freezers. Someone had a 3-day antif. Somebody had a Shabbos simcha. What was the gemach that he had, fridges and freezers? And you could see him schlepping them on his little hand truck through Harnof, because it's up, it's down, there's stairs, and he himself would personally deliver the fridges and the freezers. This is what was taken from us. So it's coming up to their yurtzeit. Our relationship with the Bachum is the essence of a Rebbe-Talmud relationship. Keep in mind, Rebbe-Talmud, parent-child, but what are we talking about? Neither of those we're talking about. My teacher to my inner self. Me, I'm the Rebbe, and my Talmud is where? Inside. It's the essence of the relationship with the Bachum is the essence of a Rebbe-Talmud relationship. Otherwise, you could just turn on a tape recorder, interesting, and allow the Talmidim to hear a recorded explanation of the sugya. The other half of what I do, this is Rav Tversky. He had an interview but in 2011 before the yeshiva dinner. The other thing I do is develop the Bachum into B'nai Torah. My goal is basically, in addition to transmitting the fundamental knowledge, is to mold, to shape, to form B'nai Torah. Isn't that what we're trying to do to ourselves? To mold, to shape, to form the Ben Sora Mer, to take that wayward and rebellious child and get him under control. Learning Torah and teaching Torah is not a vocation. It's not a calling. Torah is the essence of life. And then he says, everybody can have a share in it. Teaching is something everyone can engage in. People think they can't teach. You know, when Partners in Torah contacted me, if anybody wants to do Partners in Torah, when Steve Savitsky contacted me, if anybody would like to do Partners in Torah, please give me your name. You will be paired up with a not yet affiliated Jewish woman. So he said to me, the biggest thing is that people think they have nothing to offer somebody else. He said, everybody has something to offer somebody else. The Lubavitcher Rebbe famously said, if you know Aleph, go out and teach Aleph. There's no excuse. There's no way you could say, I can't teach somebody else. And there's no excuse to say, I can't teach my very own self. It's not true. Teaching is something everybody can engage in. When you explain to your chavrusa, the pshat and the rashi, the rambam, you're teaching. When you point out a source, you're teaching.
That what?
You
could be a teacher and a student at the same time. Like
That's right. We spoke about that. Very, very nice. The Salvation said we're teaching community. Very nice. And that simultaneously, beautiful. I didn't remember. Very, very nice. That simultaneously we can all be the teacher and the student at the same time. And that speaks so strongly to who we are. Because I have to be the teacher and I am the student to my very own self. Beautiful. I have to remind myself that the reins are bracha. I have to remind myself constantly that Yantav is a bracha. I have to constantly remind myself of the emes of Amunah. Beautiful. The purpose of creation is to bring everybody, says Rav Tversky, to Olam Haba. The Rambam says, Maimonides says, his father and his mother bring him into this world, and his Rebbe brings him into the world to come. Everybody can have a share of that great, great process of learning and teaching. So we need to apply this to ourselves. Excuse me. Very much to ourselves. Just as you realize, you cannot start by teaching, bottom of page 70. You cannot start by teaching your son deeper points of such divine providence. You know, you don't sit down with a three-year-old and teach them the highest, deepest parts of philosophy in Yahadus. Where are you going to get? Nowhere. The child's not going to know what you're talking about. But I must slowly and patiently, coming back to patience, teach the simple concept of Hashem's existence again and again. So it is with your own heart. Remember what Pinchas said, more than anything, what do you have to do? Hold on to the heart. If you immediately rush to lofty ideas, you will essentially be escaping from heart to mind. Quote, this is a major error. The mind grasps and knows far more than the heart can internalize. If one jumps from a simple point to a deeper point, before he's worked on the first one for weeks, months, before you've thought about the Creator thousands of times, from then on, he is nothing but a castle built in there. Your mind is racing and rushing, and it's such a high level, but you need to bring it down a notch. When you take it down to your heart, remember, inside is just a child. And the child can't handle all that intellectual philosophy and deep ideas. Child needs pasha, anochi Hashem. The child needs pasha, Torah tzivalanu Moshe. So interestingly, the Mechaber here is saying that you can't jump from the highest levels. All you have is a castle in there. What's a castle in there? Nothing. You have a castle, but it's in there. So what does it mean? What do you really have? Nothing. Rabbi Biderman brings down Parshas Kisetze, same Parsha as the Ben Tzor Amor. The Divrei Chaim of Sons told a similar story related to Teshuva. It really relates to what the Mechaber has just said. You need to work in stages. You need to work in steps. Can't take all the deep ideas of your mind and put it in your heart. You have a simple child within you. Speak to the child. What did he say? Once, twice, weeks, months, thousands of times. There was a poor woman who found an egg. Her hungry children were happy. They saw the egg. They assumed their mother would divide the egg between them. They would have a little bit to eat. But the mother had other plans. She gathered her children and she told them about her plans. We will place the chicken under our neighbor's chicken. We will place our egg under the neighbor's chicken. We will let it hatch. We will let that chicken become an adult. It will lay eggs of its own. Those eggs will give us more chickens. Soon we'll have many chickens, many eggs. We'll sell them for cattle. The cattle will have children. We'll have sheep and cows. We will sell them to buy land. She went on and on, building her castle in the air. And as she described to her children their future wealth, she was waving her hands around. She became so excited. What happened to the egg? It broke. And the plans vanished. What's the nimshal? The parable with the lesson, the moral. The sons of Rav Zatzal told this story to describe people's grand plans for Elul. We will improve in the coming year. We will do this. We will do that. I'll be better in tefillah. I'll be better in Torah. I'll be better in chesed. I'll be better in my emotions. We spoke so much in this class about patience. I'll be better in my lashon hara, not speaking it. I'll be better in my birkas hamazon. You think you're going to do everything from A to Z. You're going to take all the lofty ideas in your mind and relate this to the mechaber. You're going to put everything where? In your heart. But the child inside is 3 years old. And the child inside can't work in that level. And the child inside can't do 100 things at once. You know, one of the goals that they do in therapy with my son, speech therapy, not anymore. He's 9 or 11 years old, Baruch Hashem. But when he was little, one of the things they work on is two-step directions. It's such a strong nimshal to Avodas Hashem. Get the book from the cupboard and put it on the table. That's first level is go get the book. The next one is get the book and put it on the table. Multi-step directions. But you can't go from zero to five-step direction. It becomes a goal in the IEP. How many stages can the child carry out with one sentence? So what happens with her? This woman is planning 100 things that she's going to do. She's going to own a ranch. She has one egg. It's nice to have plans, but they have to be realistic. So the Tzanzer Rebbe said, people in Elul make grand plans. It's, by the way, please don't walk out of here and misunderstand me. You have 1 week left to Yom Adin. You got to make plans. But they have to be realistic goals in your Avodas Hashem. If we are not realistic, it won't work. They tell themselves this year will be different. Within a few weeks, they revert to the same behavior. Why? Because the plans that they set for themselves were just a castle in the air. Rav Sham Shor Falish, I wish I had the Pirkei Avos here. What?
Everyone should make their own spiritual IEP.
Everyone should make their own spiritual?
IEP.
Very nice. Beautiful. Very nice. You're right. I'm going to repeat it. Everyone should make their own spiritual IEP, individualized education plan. And the goal of the IEP is by the end of the year to meet the goals. Very nice. Halavai.
Otherwise insurance doesn't cover.
What?
Otherwise, insurance doesn't cover.
Very good. Otherwise, Hashem is going to say, you want me to cover this? You want me to give you a new lease on life? Lahavdil. Like the insurance says, I'm not going to cover it. You didn't meet your goals. What are you doing with the kid? Nothing. He's playing on the iPad. You didn't do anything. So Hashem's going to say, so now you want a new life? You want another year? What happened to Tav Shanai and Zion? What happened to the goals? Unbelievable. Rav Shamshir Fal Hirsch, and I wish I had the Pirkei Avos here, but I didn't plan to say it. I just thought of it now. Kol Yamai Gadalti Bein Chachamim V'lo Metzati L'Guf Tov Mishtika. Shamshir Fal Hirsch says one of the, I can't say it in his Lashon, I don't have the Sefer in front of me. I can paraphrase his thoughts. That man has verbose ideas, and lots of talk and grand talk, but that he convinces himself that talk constitutes action. How much I spoke about that great idea. I talked about giving chesed. I talked about going to a shir. I spoke about establishing a gemach society for refrigerators, but I never did anything about it. Says this is one of the worst consequences of too much speech. This commentary in Avos. That man convinces himself that all that talk constitutes action. I'll take my egg, it's going to lay under the chicken, I'll have more eggs, I'll have more chickens. What's she going to do next? I'm just going to get to beef and cattle, she's going to have all ranch, the egg fell there. Make an IEP. Tavshin Ayin Chas should be these five goals. It doesn't mean you're not working on other things. Don't drop all your other worldly stuff, but it has to be realistic. Just like for the child. I can't give the child with cochlear implants five-step directions if he can't do two-step directions. That's asinine. You're going to be a failure. You're going to fail. The child's going to fail on the insurance. So cover it. So you set up a whole IEP what you're going to do with this egg. You're going to own the ranch and you come to God. And God says, you don't even have an egg. So now you want a new year? It's a bushel chlima. I should pay for this, says the Rebbe Hashem. You want more time? What about the time you had? Wow. So we do have all these ideas. And the head goes faster than the heart. It's okay, it's good. Set a high level. But it has to be in stages. Otherwise, all you're left with, says the Mechaber, is a castle in the air. In order for a concept to be absorbed, and so I did not realize the time, I'm sorry, not just the mind, you must repeat it again and again. We're going to stop there because the next thing is a few paragraphs long. This is our last class of Tav Shanai and Zayin. We should be Zocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see our avoda. We should be Zocha to continue growing and learning together. And the neshama of Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak Alei Hashalom should be judged the tova and the zchus of all the Torah that is being taught and worked upon in her memory. Should be Zocha to Tav Shanai and Chas of Yeshuos and Brachos Besoros Tovos. A kesiva v'chasima tova for all. Amen v'amen. Thank you, ladies. Have a good Shabbos and a wonderful end of, because next Wednesday night, obviously, we